This Weekend starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. In search of common ground, I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
Many Americans believe that people with opposing political views are dangerous. How did it get this way? And is there a better way?
On the tech front, there's a better process for building homes that are safer and sturdier. So what's stopping us?
On the personal finance front, money and investing advice that works regardless of who's in the White House.
And TV shows designed to act like a sedative for a stressed out American electorate.
Well, they're boring in a good way because they aren't really about anything. There's no drama. There's no plot. There's no real character. It's mostly soothing voices, beautiful visuals, a very loose narrative that pulls you along. And in some cases, it's really designed to actually make you fall asleep.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Gamerman has what's trending on TV. As you know, many Americans believe that those in the other political party are dangerous. Why is it that way? Diane Hessen, chair of the marketing technology firm C-Space, says we have to leverage our common ground to create a new path for the future. She's written a piece in the Boston Globe explaining it. Diane, how do you see it?
You know, honestly, I will tell you that there is way more common ground than you would think in our country, given all the messages we have about divisiveness. You know, if you ask voters about policy, you can get 80% of them to agree on immigration, gun control, healthcare, infrastructure, lots of other issues. You can even get 80% of the country to agree that Trump should stop tweeting.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is the extremes not only get the airtime, but they influence our perceptions of each other. And those perceptions are not always true, but I really believe that they are behind what has made us, you know, so divisive.
I believe you're spot on. Why has this been allowed to happen?
Well, look, whether you like Trump or not, we have a divisive leader. He also works in Washington with a Congress that is incredibly divisive and can't get anything done. And then if you think about media, you know, you turn on the TV and, you know, there are depending on what your political persuasion is, you can get a channel out there to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So their model, you know, if you just look at media, for instance, their model is that the extremes get the airtime. So you get way more eyeballs if you show white nationalists marching through the streets of a city than if you show, you know, somebody just kind of out there trying to get through the day and make ends meet.
Yeah.
And so I think the extremes get all the loud airtime, and then social media kind of elevates that and makes all of that go viral. And all of a sudden, if you're a Democrat, you have perceptions of Republicans in the Republican Party that are extreme and very often inaccurate, and vice versa. I mean, you know, most Republicans, for instance, think that, you know, Democrats are, you know, elitist, socialists who want to take their hard-earned tax dollars and, you know, give them away to criminals and illegal immigrants, mm-hmm. who want to take away their guns and allow women to have weekly abortions and who want to get rid of the police. And Democrats think that Trump supporters are these hypocritical, uneducated deplorables. And, you know, the reality on the ground is different, but we act and think, you know, based on what we hear and what we read.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now.
We're speaking with Diane Hessen, entrepreneur, author, and chair of a marketing technology firm called C-Space. She's written a good piece in the Boston Globe called "The One Priority We Have No Matter Who Wins." All right, so talk about this common ground. How do you see us getting there and ignoring the noise that might be the extremes if we consider it that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it starts at the top, as in any organization. You know, if the people in the organization are not getting along or not collaborating, or if you have a lousy culture in an organization, it starts at the top. And I think it starts with the top in this particular situation also. I mean, we need leaders you know, to figure out how to bring us together, as opposed to, you know, what I wrote is our leaders can't, you know, after this election, can't gloat and scream and spike the ball in the end zone. I mean, they really need to figure out how to bring us together and how to leverage people who are good at communications to help us do that. You know, we all need to have significantly more dialogue with each other to figure out how to engage in conversations that empathize. And, you know, I know that sounds like mom and apple pie, but I'll tell you, Gordon, how many TV shows have you watched where you take Trump voters, you know, you take Republicans and Democrats, and you put them in, and they're mad at each other, and you put them in a room for 2 hours, and they leave hugging each other. I mean, I just think that if we all shut up and listen a little, we'll find that the despicable people who we think are in the other party are actually a very, very small percentage.
Thanks, Diane. That is Diane Hessen, chair of the marketing technology firm C-Space. Coming up next, how polling stations adapted to the coronavirus. Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBBlackFriday.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, visit planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. The coronavirus outbreak already changed the way Americans voted this year, right? Big reason that better than 102 million people cast early ballots compared with just 59 million in 2016. But on Tuesday, it changed how polling stations operate, as most election officials tried to follow guidance from the CDC. Examples from Jim Carlton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Jim, what did you witness?
Well, really, it's kind of like the American election experience is completely transformed by coronavirus. You know, I'm in Johnson County, Kansas. It's a suburban area of Kansas City, and I went to a lot of polling stations. And when you walk in, you face a worker behind a plexiglass shield. They give you a disposable stylus, so you don't have to touch anything. Before you go to your ballot machine, they disinfect it from the last person. And basically, the whole thing is you don't touch anything. Basically, your disposable pen, and that's it. And so everybody I talked to was kind of pleasantly surprised at how safe it was, and considering that there's coronavirus all around. So it was kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be particularly good for the poll workers.
Well, exactly. And I talked to some that are in their 60s and 70s, and I was actually kind of surprised to see as many older people out as there were. But, you know, they wear masks. Everybody's got masks here in Johnson County. They feel pretty comfortable. And also, the venues are bigger. Here in Johnson County, I went to the Blue Valley High School, and it was in a gymnasium. So a nice, big area. So if somebody comes in with COVID, it's going to hopefully disperse pretty quickly and not get people infected as easily. Yeah. So that's happening in other parts of the country too.
What about masks versus no masks for people who showed up to vote in person?
Well, that's a really interesting and controversial issue of the election. Maybe the most controversial. So all across the country, the voting officials and secretaries of state pretty much said, if somebody wants to vote, you can't stop the sacred right to vote if you don't have a mask. However, California, they said, Fresno County told me that if someone came in with a mask, they said, okay, fine, you're voting outside. There's your booth. You know, they're going to quarantine you outside. In Kansas, the Secretary of State decreed that they can vote right alongside everybody else. You can't do anything. So So I was at the Blue Valley High School gymnasium yesterday, 6 a.m., and there was two women in line of about 20 people, no mask. And I noticed that they were offered masks. They just shook their head vigorously. No, we don't want a mask. Afterwards, I asked them, so why no mask? And one lady said, well, you know what? Masks harm you. You do know that, right? I'm a doctor. And I said, what kind of doctor? I'm a chiropractor. Okay. So at any rate, the other lady said, I don't want to be a conformist. So you get a few Jeez. People like that.
Yeah.
But it's not the majority at all. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I think all day long, I think I saw, you know, three people total that refused to wear masks.
We're speaking with Jim Carlton, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. He's got a piece running entitled How Coronavirus Changed Election 2020 Voting and Polling Stations. Somebody said voting in person was similar to the risk you might encounter going to a grocery store, right? I think that was the analogy.
Right. I talked to a doctor from UC San Francisco, and he was saying that basically, you know, you go into a Costco and you're in there for 10 or 15 minutes, and it's kind of a limited exposure. I think that they're finding that that you have a higher risk of getting contaminated if you're in a room with, say, family for like an hour or so, or in a closed confine. So, and again, most of these places were big. I actually went to the Arrowhead Stadium of the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday in Kansas City, Missouri, to see what's going on the Missouri side. And they have the whole club level for the Kansas City Chiefs converted into a polling station.
Hmm.
And it was gigantic. They had, rap music from a sound truck outside, food trucks, Kansas City Chiefs cheerleaders. It was like going into a game.
Wow.
but you walk upstairs and there's like these, ballot machines, or many, many, they're very far apart, very dispersed. So yeah. It felt very safe.
How about 2022 midterms of the 2024 presidential election? Any of these places say, you know what, these ideas from 2020 are decent, we might implement them next time?
I think they may put a gun to their head and say, if we have to think about 2024 now. I think most people feel if they can get through this thing, get through anything. This is the Super Bowl of tough elections, you know.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Carlton, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, what to know if the election results have you thinking about moving out of the country? Well, some Americans, as you know, have threatened to move to another country depending on the election outcome. So what's it like for those who've done it, whether they're retired or not? Insight from Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Jess, take us through this.
So I talk to people from all across the world that are American expats, and what was interesting about it is that these are people who've taken the plunge in recent years, and some fled to escape some of the political turmoil in the U.S., while others moved abroad for different job opportunities, or they found love and they ended up getting married. So I actually talked to a retired couple who lived in Costa Rica, and they've been there for about 4 years, so they moved right before the last election, or the summer before the 2016 election, that November. And they had lived in San Francisco, obviously in the Bay Area, rents are pretty high, and so they had decided that they wanted to move abroad. They had looked at different areas like Paris, but thought that that might be a little too pricey, and they ended up deciding, they visited Costa Rica, they loved it, and they said that typically that country in Central America is a little bit more expensive than others, say like if you're in Mexico, but for their costs, they're spending, you know, maybe $2,000 a month right now, and it worked for them as far as when it comes to their Social Security. But they told me, as far as their reasoning, they're African American, and they felt like just the political turmoil that was going on, even before the last election, it's just happened over recent years, it just became a lot for them.
Yeah.
And they decided that that was kind of the reason that they wanted to go over there. And they really love it. And even during the pandemic, they've said, obviously, it's been hard and everywhere across the world. But right now, they're still able to go out to different places as long as they wear a mask. And so she was very, the woman that I spoke with was very encouraging as far as if people wanted to go out there, they should still consider it. But obviously, she thinks that it's maybe a little bit easier if you're a retiree versus, say, if you're younger and you're working. It's a little bit complicated as far as how you could work in the country and when it comes to residency and things like that. So she thought if you're a retiree, it might be a little bit easier for you and something that you should consider.
Yeah. All right. So you talked to that woman from Costa Rica, another person from Madrid, you had London in there, you had
yes.
South Korea and Mexico, but the underlying theme here seemed to be the cost of healthcare.
Yes, that came up in every conversation that I had, and it was almost like they couldn't say enough about it, and I didn't even have to bring it up sometimes. Sometimes I had it further on down in my questions, but it was one of the first things they wanted to talk about. And one of the women who she lived in South Korea for about 6 years, and now she's been in Mexico for the past two. She was talking about how during the last recession, during the housing crisis, she had just graduated from grad school, had a really difficult time finding a job. She ended up working at a community college, but I think it was part-time, and she didn't have her full benefits or health care and things like that. And then she started looking for opportunities abroad to teach English, and she ended up scoring a great opportunity in South Korea to teach younger boys. And she ended up getting more benefits of being abroad than she actually did when she was trying to get a job here. And she said she was just amazed by her experience. And now during the pandemic, she is in Mexico, but she's basically working for an e-learning company and still teaching online. So she's able to work remote. And she has two young kids. And that was another thing with healthcare. The cost that came with childcare for her in South Korea and just even paying out of pocket in Mexico is drastically cheaper for her than when she was in the States.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. She's written about how some Americans say they want to leave, depending on who wins office. So while healthcare was the common theme, specifically the cost of it, I guess my question is, do you get what you pay for? Like, if it's cheap healthcare, you know, are you getting the finest of care when you show up to a doctor's office or a hospital in some of these other countries?
That's a great question. And so there are trade-offs. I talked to a woman who lives in London, and she was lucky because her employer actually pays for private healthcare, but she could just have healthcare through the country there, but it's sort of a trade-off in the sense of usually typically people will only go if there's only emergency and they don't necessarily need to go for checkups that often. And so if she had something like that, sometimes you have to wait longer for appointments, but she said because she was lucky and her employer pays private healthcare for her, and it doesn't come out of her paycheck. They completely cover it. So I think it kind of depends on your situation.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, constructing a better home. The new normal workwear has a lot of us searching our closets and drawers for men's essentials that aren't there. Instead of the usual business casual button-ups and jeans, it's soft-knit polos, tees, joggers, and active shorts. Whatever men's basics you need, Mack Weldon has you covered with unmatched comfort and fit. I enjoy wearing their shirts to work. They go great with jeans or khakis and look sharp on Zoom calls. But one of the most impressive things about my Mack Weldon pieces is their ability to have the same comfortable feel wash after wash. You can trust the quality through frequent wearing. But what's important is how they feel on you. So if you don't like your first pair of, say, underwear, keep them. They'll give you a refund anyway. No questions asked. And because you're listening, you can start saving right away. For 20% off your first order, visit macweldon.com/Gordon and enter the promo code Gordon. That's macweldon.com/Gordon, promo code Gordon, for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. macweldon.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Coming up this half hour, how to build a better and sturdier home. Also, financial guidance for regardless of who's in the White House. Plus, how the entertainment industry is trying to act as a sedative during election drama. And the Pittsburgh Steelers' good deed following the election. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. We could build homes that stand up to hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, and other natural and human-made disasters. We could build cars that are lighter and more fuel-efficient. So why don't we? Tech analyst Rob Enderle at the Enderle Group has been looking at composite material that could lead to a more sustainable and safer world. Rob, what have you found?
I had a meeting that I took with Aris Composites, and they're a little company that does very advanced carbon fiber kinds of things, and they've got a process that allows them to apply that technology inexpensively to small and large projects. Typically automotive, but increasingly things like buildings, and the end result is you can get that incredibly powerful carbon fiber capability, and you can get it in far cheaper vehicles. But what I was really focused on was homes, because we just had a series of hurricanes and tornadoes come through the country, and again level places that had already been leveled once. And these composites hold up much better towards weather events with weather events like hurricanes than wood could ever hope to hold up. I mean, they're designed, our fastest cars, the ones that are now going over 300 miles per hour, they're built out of composites. And so a house built out of composites, in theory, could withstand weather that a wood house couldn't even hope to stand, much like a wood car would not be able to handle speeds much over, 80 miles per hour without coming apart.
Right.
And, of course, I recalled the Monsanto House of the Future that Disney built shortly after I was born in 1957, and it stood till 1967. Amazing house. And then they went to tear it down in 67, and they brought in a wrecker, and they swung the wrecking ball in the house, and that wrecking ball hit the house and bounced like it was a Super Bowl going the other. I'm really kind of surprised nobody was hurt, because they really expected that to take out the house. And they ended up having to get out chainsaws and cut the thing apart, because a wrecking ball just wasn't going to do it. I mean, eventually somebody was going to get hurt, because it was just tossing off wrecking balls right and left. And that was the technology of that period. I mean, 1950s composite technology, fiberglass, and now we've got space age technologies in carbon fiber that are similar in cost, but substantially more capable.
We're speaking with Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. He's written a piece for TechNewsWorld.com called "Why Are Homes and Autos Still Built the Old-Fashioned Way?" All right, so what's the problem then? Why are we not building homes this way?
Well, ideally, if you wanted to build a house this way, you'd build them in factories. You wouldn't build them on site. That allows you to have far more control over the environmental, certainly maintaining anti-theft control over the carbon fiber material, because it is expensive. You use less of it, but it's more expensive as a result. And the different regulations tend to take pre-built houses, factory-built houses, and place them in categories like trailers. So you have to put wheels on them, which doesn't work, because what's the point? You go to a trailer park where a lot of people are living in these trailers, which aren't really trailers. Most of them are never going to move. And being up off the ground like that makes it easier, of course, for the wind to pick them up, move them, and cause damage. And even if they're dropped onto foundations, once again, they've got this whole wheel subsystem that doesn't help the home stability or resistance to wind. So it really does require, to a certain extent, regulation changes that allow these houses to be built like houses. And number two, to get around the wood lobby, because the wood lobby, evidently, as I was told after I wrote the piece, is extremely powerful and doesn't really like it when other materials come in and play. Sure. I mean, we even have fiber-infused concrete and 3D printers that are being explored in other parts of the world, where they just have a piece of equipment, and that piece of equipment builds the house, short of the electronics, electrical, and plumbing, which has to be added still manually. But it shows how fast. I mean, you could put up the entire structure in a few hours, as opposed to a few weeks, and then go in under shelter and do the rest of the work from a sheltered position. Once again, being protected from the weather, and of course, keeping that water and other material from getting inside the house while it's being built, which can cause problems with mold and vermin later. So there is a better way to do this. It just seems to be that we're kind of fighting ourselves, one with the wood lobby being so strong, and number two, because people just haven't been trained in the building industry to build houses this way. So initially they'd have to be built in factories.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, principal and founder of the Enderle Group. Coming up next, managing your money during election drama. No matter what your business does, there's no question that if you didn't have a digital presence before, you better have one now. But if the things you need to do it, graphic design, copywriting, web programming, film editing, and more, aren't what your business does, that's a problem. But there is a solution, and it's the online marketplace, Fiverr. Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent is ready to help. Whether you're launching your first business, your current business is pivoting, or you're in need of extra support, or you're trying to digitally optimize your business, you can find it instantly with Fiverr. Customize your search by service, deadline, price, and more. And the pricing at Fiverr is project-based, not hourly. So there's no negotiating, no guesswork, and there's 24/7 customer service. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and the code Gordon. Glad you could spend part of your weekend with us. Are you worried about your family's finances for the next 4 years? Here's guidance on managing your money during dramatic election times from Jonathan Clements, personal finance expert and founder of HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, what's history tell us?
Well, the first thing I think about, Gordon, is going back to 2016 when everybody or a lot of people were surprised that Donald Trump became president. And certainly a lot of my liberal Democratic friends were upset about it. I heard anecdotally a lot of people who dumped stocks because they thought that a Trump presidency was going to be a disaster. And, of course, the S&P 500 was up almost 22% the following year. So even though this person whom many Democrats loathed was elected president, the stock market still did very well. And the lesson here is very simple. You should divorce how you invest from your political feelings because, frankly, stocks don't care whether you like or dislike the election results. So don't invest simply because you don't like the way the election turned out. That's a huge error. People made it back in late 2016 and suffered in 2017 as a result. And you don't want to be doing that in 2020.
All right. It's another point here, too. You talked about don't invest based on information that's available now. Is that what you're saying?
The market is very efficient. As soon as news breaks, it takes that information and it builds it into stock prices. So the market today already reflects everything that people know. They know what the candidates' policy positions are. They know the current results that are available, and those are reflected in today's stock and bond prices. So if you're looking at the headlines from today or from last week and saying, yikes, this is going to happen, I need to change my stock portfolio, the odds are all you're doing is getting a price that reflects the information that you're currently reading in the newspaper or you're, you know, hearing on the TV. So don't invest based on the news. Instead, the market is driven by news. And news, by definition, is stuff we don't yet know. It's stuff that breaks. That's what drives the market in the short term. So unless you know what the headlines are going to be tomorrow, you shouldn't be changing your stock portfolio today.
We're speaking with Jonathan Clements. He's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. Go back to a point you made earlier about how the markets don't care. To a certain extent, though, they like stability, or to a large extent, they like stability.
And you're absolutely right, Gordon. To the degree that there is uncertainty, the market dislikes it. But the sort of uncertainty that the market really dislikes is economic uncertainty. Political uncertainty is less of an issue.
Okay.
And in fact, you know, all the evidence suggests that how elections turn out is really not that important to how the market performs. And you can see that in the way the market has performed in 2020. What has driven stock prices up and down in 2020? It has not been the presidential contest. Instead, what's driven the market up and down in 2020 is COVID-19. So why is COVID-19 more important than the presidential election? Because COVID-19 is heavily influencing economic activity. That is really the biggest short-term driver of stock prices today, and not what happened in Tuesday's election.
How do you stay focused with all this noise?
Well, Gordon, I wouldn't want to tell people to turn off your show. But maybe you want to turn off the TV.
Very good. Anything else you want to drop in?
What I would say is, you know, the investment principles that guided you well in 2016, in 2010, in 2006 will serve you well in 2020. You want to be broadly diversified, you want to keep costs low, and you want to trade as little as possible. You want to be a long-term investor. If you're investing in the stock market, you should plan on being there for at least 10 years. If you're panicking because of what happened yesterday or the day before, frankly, you shouldn't be in stocks. It's the wrong place to be because stock market is a place for long-term investors. And if you have a short time horizon, you're going to end up getting taken to the cleaners.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements from HumbleDollar.com. Coming up next, television as an election sedative. Today, I'm here with Josh Hunt, Executive Vice President and Chief Business Development Officer at MEDC. Josh, what were the biggest challenges for MEDC from the pandemic?
Michigan was one of the hardest hit states by COVID-19. At the MEDC, what we did is we immediately began focusing on economic response measures from COVID-19 to support our businesses, our communities, and our workforce in every region of the state. The first closures of businesses here in Michigan as a result of the pandemic happened on March 16th, and it was on March 19th that we launched our first financial tool to help small businesses that were impacted. And so it was an immediate and ongoing response where we leveraged every resource available to help mitigate the negative impacts of COVID-19.
Thanks, Josh. To hear more of this interview with Josh Hunt from MEDC, go to thismorningwithgordondeal.com and click on the MEDC microphone. Well, the entertainment industry is trying to meet our stressed out national moment by making television that works like a sedative. Here's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
Still suffering from election anxiety? There are lots of shows on TV about absolutely nothing to help you chill. Ellen Gamerman of the Wall Street Journal has taken a look at some of this entertainment and joins us now. Ellen, your story says these programs are boring in a good way. How so?
Well, they're boring in a good way because they aren't really about anything. There's no drama, there's no plot, there's no real character. It's mostly soothing voices, beautiful visuals, a very loose narrative that pulls you along, and in some cases, it's really designed to actually make you fall asleep.
Ellen, your story talks about a show called A World of Calm. What's that about?
So that one is between the mindfulness app Calm and HBO Max, and it came out last month. And it's all about lulling you kind of into a stupor. It's like they've got these celebrities reading from a script, and the subjects are things, very benign subjects, like looking at trees or underwater life. One is about noodle making, which they found a very zen way to film and discuss the traditions of noodle making. And everything in the show that is in any way exciting would happen at the very beginning, so that's when they know you're awake to get it, and you wouldn't feel bad, like you're going to miss something, if you fall asleep right after that. And as the show goes on, the pacing slows down, there are longer pauses between each sentence, sometimes even each word of the narration, and it just eventually kind of fades into this, like, screensaver-like experience.
Do any of these shows have plots that need to be followed?
There's a loose storyline in some of them. Like, one follows a man who wants to make a boat out of a single piece of wood from a single tree, and you see him carving away at it, and you learn that he's from a certain tradition of doing this, but it very quickly fades into pictures and footage of trees. And this one is narrated by Keanu Reeves, and it's just like learning about the underground root structures of trees and how trees sustain themselves and each other. And it really doesn't have much of a plot after learning about that guy making the boat.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Gamerman. Coming up next, a good way of mixing politics and sports.
For the ones standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBBlackFriday. Well, even those who usually don't like when sports and politics mix will probably appreciate how the Pittsburgh Steelers inserted themselves into the vote counting operation in Allegheny County. in western Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says members of the organization on Wednesday night sent dinner to the Allegheny County election staffers working hard to process the thousands of remaining mail-in and absentee ballots that may help decide the White House. County spokeswoman Amy Downs said the Steelers asked if they could help feed the poll workers diligently counting ballots at the 80,000-square-foot warehouse across the street from the Pennsylvania Station Post Office, where votes are being tabulated. A worker with Cooked Goose Catering Company arrived around 7:30 p.m. with 8 pies, stuffed chicken breasts, rigatoni pasta, vegetables, and dinner rolls. No Steelers were present that evening, given coronavirus concerns, but linebacker Vince Williams tweeted his approval. The 7-0 Steelers, by the way, face the Cowboys on Sunday in Dallas. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.